is brought to you by Head Start Basketball.
Hey, Hoopheads, I wanted to take a minute to shout out our partners and friends at Dr. Dish Basketball. Their Dr. Dish shooting machines are undoubtedly the most advanced and user-friendly machines on the market. Sign up now for their virtual camp 2.0 featuring 10 days of workouts with pro trainers from the Dr. Dish family. Learn more at drdishbasketball.com and follow their incredible content at Dr. Dish B-Ball on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube. Mention the Hoopheads podcast and save an extra $300 on the Dr. Dish Rebel, All-Star, and CT models. Visit drdishbasketball.com for details. That's a great deal, Hoopheads. Get your Dr. Dish shooting machine today.
Hi, everybody. This is Mark Schultz, assistant men's basketball coach at Center College, and you're listening to the Hoopheads podcast.
Prepare like the pros with the all-new Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Fast Draw has been the number one play diagramming software for coaches for years. You'll quickly see why Fast Model Sports has the most compelling and intuitive basketball software out there. For a limited time, Fast Model is offering new subscribers 10% off Fast Draw and Fast Scout. Just use the code SAVE10 at checkout to grab your discount, and you'll be on your way to more efficient game prep and improved communication with your team. Fast Model also has new coaching content every week on its blog, plus play and drill diagrams on its play bank. Check out the links in the show notes for more. Fast Model Sports is the best in basketball.
Hello and welcome to the Hoopheads podcast. It's Mike Klinsling here with my co-host Jason Sunkel. We are quickly approaching the 2021-2022 NBA season. So we finally have some maybe semi-basketball related things to talk about and hopefully have a couple preview episodes coming up shortly. But tonight we're going to just kind of focus on the news of the day and the week, correct?
Yeah. So, yeah. And there's a bit of news to discuss. We're going to start with all the vaccine talk because I think that's kind of where we're going to go. And that's where – I don't know if that's going to be the majority of what we're going to talk about tonight. But it's definitely some big news with what's going on with the NBA and, you know, the interesting situations that some teams are going to find themselves in because of – vaccine requirements. I believe, and Mike, I don't know, maybe you can correct me if I'm wrong, but New York and Golden State is currently, all home players are going to be required to be vaccinated. Are those the only teams that you know of? Or is there anyone
those
else?
Are the only two that, those are the only two that I've heard
well,
at this point.
Well, it's three because it's New York and Brooklyn. So it's
correct,
New York and Brooklyn
correct.
And then Golden State. So I'm under the impression that those are the only three that have vaccine requirements, but it's only can be required for home players. I don't quite understand that. I'm kind of baffled as to what that reasoning is. But as a part of that situation, we've got several key players. We've got Kyrie, who skipped media day because of it. And then during media day, decided that he was going to hold an Instagram live to show his house around and then do a question and answer. And as he's doing the question and answer, people are asking him about the vaccine and his response is, please respect my privacy. However, you just welcomed everyone into your home, Kyrie, for an Instagram live for the last hour and a half. I kind of think that that is a fair question to ask him. Anyways. So he basically said he was going to share that information at a later time. I don't quite know what necessarily that means, but Kyrie being Kyrie. And then on the other side of the spectrum is Andrew Wiggins, who tried to get a religious exception, but he was denied. And then you've had Steph Curry and it came out and basically said, you know, it's his business. It's his choice. It is an awkward situation. It sucks, blah, 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 blah. So I don't know where that leaves. I mean, basically what this means is if they don't require, or if they're not vaccinated, they are not going to be able to play home games, Mike. you want? How do you want to tackle? Do you want to talk? Take your take on the Kyrie, Andrew Wiggins, and vaccine situation in the NBA. Obviously, you know, I read, Mike, that the Cavs are supposedly going to be fully vaccinated by the time they believe they're going to be fully vaccinated by the time the season starts. So that's a positive for the Cavs. Your take on this in general, Mike? Go ahead.
So my understanding is that 90% of the league is currently vaccinated, which leaves us with what? There's 450 or so players, maybe 500 now that they've expanded the rosters. So you've got maybe 40 or 50 players that aren't choosing not to get vaccinated.
Yeah.
I'm going to start with Kyrie and just, I don't know. To me, get the vaccination. You're going to get it eventually, right? He's not going to sit 41 home games. I can't imagine any of these guys are going to forfeit 41 paychecks.
Andrew Wiggins said that he is prepared to forfeit 41 game checks. 8.9 million.
Don't you just cut them?
No. That'll be discriminatory. They're not going to be able to do that, Mike.
I would just tell them goodbye.
Mike, I'm telling you, they're not going to be able to do that because it's not mandated by the league. They have not had a collective bargaining agreement with the league, so therefore they cannot
that you have to play.
No. There's no collective bargaining agreement as far as the vaccine is concerned. So I'm telling you,
but if he's not allowed to play,
well, I read and he can't fulfill his contract, then you just cut him. Woj had a whole article on this. Well, there was an article on ESPN that it is not collectively bargained, and they can't mandate that anyone. Now he can get fined and his game checks can be withheld, but if they cannot cut him or release him based on the fact that he doesn't have a vaccine.
Right, but it would be based on the fact that he can't play in games. They wouldn't be cutting him based on the fact that he won't get the vaccine. They're cutting him based on the fact that he can't play in half their games.
Well, they're not going to do that. That would be a bad precedent. I'm going to tell you Golden State's not going to do it. And Brooklyn's not going to do it because KD basically already, you know, I don't know if you read the report that Brooklyn was entertaining trading Kyrie for Ben Simmons. Did you see that article or no?
Yeah, but I mean, come on, that trade's not going to happen. They're not making that trade.
But I'm just telling you, there's no way they're cutting Andrew Wiggins over this. They're not going to do it.
Look, I don't think they will either, but why not? Guy's only going to play half your games. What do his teammates really think?
I don't know. I read the Steph quotes. I mean, he's saying things.
Right. What's for public consumption versus what they're saying behind closed doors? If you're Durant or you're Harden, I mean, look, I know all these guys are maybe a little strange or whatever in their own way, but Kyrie's out there, man. I mean, he's off the deep end. And if you're Durant or you're Harden and you're looking at it going, dude, we're trying to win a title this year. Get the vaccination to get in here and play, right? I mean, they can't be happy with him.
Yeah.
They just can't be. I just don't see it. I just don't see how you can be happy with him. And then, like, why say, well, respect my privacy, but in 2 weeks when I tell you whether I got the vaccine or not, what's the difference? Well, what's he waiting for? It's not like the vaccine hasn't been out for 6 months or 8 months or whatever it's been out that he's had opportunity to figure out whether he wants to tell people that he's vaccinated or not. It just doesn't make any sense to me. It doesn't make any sense to me. I think Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in that Rolling Stone article said it best when he just said, look, you can talk about wanting to do your research and this and that, but who are you talking to? If you listen to the people who have done the medical research, who are doctors, who have studied immunology for, or whatever the word is, for that long, why wouldn't you listen to those people? Why are you listening to, I don't even know what the correct word is here, but why are you listening to the kooks on the other side that are saying all these crazy things? And it doesn't make any sense. I will say this,
the funny part about that whole thing, the quote unquote kooks, they're all the opposite side of the spectrum that any of these NBA players are. So I don't quite get it. Like,
yeah, it makes no sense. None of this makes any sense from a standpoint of, I don't know what your stance is when you're saying you're not going to get it based on every single credible medical personnel that has talked about this, from whatever the FDA to the doctors to everybody, unless somebody's a fringe person, they're telling you that it's safe and that you should take it. And again, you're taking it as much for the people around you and everyone else as you are taking it for yourself. And I just think eventually I don't see these guys forfeiting half their salary. Now, maybe the teams are just going to pay them.
Because
they don't want to set a precedent. They don't want to look at that franchise that doesn't take care of their players and this and that. But I think the bottom line is, if you're a member of the Brooklyn Nets, whether you're part of the organization in the front office or you're a coach or you're a player, you just can't be – I mean, you can't be happy.
No,
you can't be happy. You can't be happy with Kyrie.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I'm just saying there's no way they're cutting him over this. There's zero chance.
I get the reality of it, that they're probably not going to get cut. But a guy's only going to play half the games. Do you even want the guy playing the other half of the games? I don't know. It just – this whole thing, it goes back to
– I mean, how many games was Kyrie going to play healthy anyways?
Yeah. Well, if you boil it down to what's Brooklyn's chances of winning the NBA title, I'd say the longer this goofy scenario goes on – I don't see that team ever putting it together. So we'll get to that when we get to our previews. But I said it all of last year, and I'll say it again, whether it's injury or just mental capacity, I don't see that team ever winning an NBA title. And I don't know. I guess it's not my place to tell people what they should do or shouldn't do, but it seems clear that the medical evidence is out there that the vaccine is safe. It keeps everybody safe. It keeps yourself safe. It prevents severe hospitalizations and death. So the fact that you're protesting it or not wanting to tell people about it, it seems insane to me. And I think I would defer to, again, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who is probably one of the most thoughtful former retired basketball players that's out there, that has weighed in and just says, hey, everybody should get the vaccine. And if you're not, you're not listening to the right people. So I think we leave it there. I don't know that there's a whole lot more else that we can really try to figure out about these different guys. Bradley Beal, I thought the quote from Damian Lillard about, look, when I went to school, I had to get all these different vaccines. I don't have any idea what's in the vaccine for the measles or for chicken pox or for whatever else you get a vaccine for before you can even attend school. And I didn't do any research on any of those. At a certain point, you just have to trust that the people who are in the medical profession know what they're doing. And look, we put a lot of trust in lots of different people every day, right? You drive over a bridge and you have to trust that the engineer who built the bridge built it correctly. You're driving down the street and you have to trust that the guy driving the semi in the lane next to you isn't going to veer over and run you off the road. So, I mean, it just, to me, it doesn't make any sense. Get the vaccine, keep everybody healthy, including yourself, and be out on the floor where you're getting paid to be on the floor. So.
All right. I mean, I can't disagree with you. I think.
Do they get vaccinated?
I don't know. Do you think
they get vaccinated?
I don't know. I mean, Andrew Wiggins basically said he's ready to forfeit his $8.9 million.
He's got to be forfeiting more than that.
No, that's how much he would get fined for the 41 games.
Oh, is he just get fined? They're not going to take away his game checks?
Well, I'm guessing that's part of how much is he making this year?
He's making a lot. He's making way more than $16 million, I'll tell you that. I think he signed like a 5-year, $144 million contract. If I'm not mistaken,
let's see if I can find it. I saw the thing on. This is really enthralling for the listeners here. I read it yesterday. I can't find it, but it basically said that it was going to be 8.9. $8.9 million. I'll find it and I'll see if I can find it during the rest of the podcast and I'll read it. But the NBA
Wiggins this season is scheduled to make $31,579,000.
$31 million, you mean?
$31 million. Sorry, what did I say? $31,000. $31 million.
Okay.
So
unvaccinated players are going to be living under the same exact rule as last year, basically. I don't know if you did you see this. Vaccinated players, meanwhile, will have far more freedom. It is even more restrictive than last season for unvaccinated players, including non-fully vaccinated players having to have their locker as distant from other players as possible, according to the NBA, Tim Bone Temps, for NBA writer for ESPN.
Look, I would guess, so maybe Wiggins is a holdout. I would guess that when it's all said and done, there's probably less than 15 guys who don't end up getting vaccinated if I had to bet.
Yep. Listen.
Let's say we're at 40 or 50. I say we get down to 15 or so.
Okay. That's fair. All right. Anything else on vaccines, Mike? Or are we done discussing vaccines?
I think we're done. I mean, just the guys who are out, get the vaccine, get it over with. You're probably going to have to get it anyway, and keep everybody out there safe and just come in and play some basketball.
Sounds good to me. All right. The next thing we're going to discuss, your boy, Zion, had foot surgery again. Right around Summer League, he had foot surgery. Mike, are you getting more and more concerned about his tenability in the NBA?
I mean, I think you have to be concerned when you have a guy that has his body type and is as explosive as he is, and he's up off the floor and coming down and landing with that kind of weight on his joints over and over and over again. I think you have to be concerned. And you look over the last couple of years and he had surgery on his knee. He had a surgery in college. I think this is maybe his fourth surgery in 4 years. And I don't know how serious any of those injuries are, but history will tell you that if a guy continuously every year, year after year, continues to get what might be considered smaller injuries or minor injuries, that just tends to keep on happening. And eventually, if you have enough small injuries that knock you out of 20 games here or 30 games there, those things start to add up and you're just not the same person/player that you were, or that you could have been without those injuries and without those surgeries. Yeah, if I'm a Pelicans fan, if I'm an NBA fan, if I'm a Zion fan, I'm definitely concerned.
Yeah, I agree. And I think, listen, Mike, he's had more surgeries in the last 4 years than I have in my life. And now that's not necessarily a fair thing, because I've literally had, I've had one surgical procedure in my life, Mike. I mean, I don't know about you, but the only thing I've had is my wisdom teeth out.
I guess I had my broken nose fixed, and I guess wisdom teeth. I don't even know if I necessarily consider that surgery, but I guess I had that too. So,
do you go under, or did they?
I think so. I don't know. Who knows?
You don't remember?
That was a long time ago. Pretty sure I did.
Yeah. So those are literally the two things I can think of when I classify things as a surgical procedure. So if those are the only two surgical procedures or one surgical procedure I've had, like, I'm not trying to say, like, because I obviously live a very different life than Zion, and I probably haven't played as much basketball as him. Although I'm 15 years older, so I bet you. I mean, I know he plays way more than I do, but it's not probably that, like, ginormous because he's been injured so many friggin' times, probably. So it's like he's definitely put more minutes and more meaningful minutes than I have. I don't want to like sound like I'm saying I play a lot, but like you know what I'm saying though, right? Like. In your lifetime, do you think you've played more basketball than Zion? Yes, right?
I would guess probably.
I mean, you used to probably play 7 days a week.
Yeah, I probably did. But I think with Zion, the thing is that...
You don't weigh 260.
I don't weigh 260. And it's also... It's just look at LeBron's track record. Like, he's a guy who just doesn't... He's a guy who doesn't get hurt. Look at Kyrie's track record. He's a guy who does get hurt. And I'm not saying that every guy fits into one of those two profiles. But for the most part, there are guys who just kind of power through and don't seem to get all those little nicks and injuries and this surgery and miss 10 games here, miss 15 games there. There are guys that just don't, that just doesn't happen to. And then there are other guys, it seems like no matter what they do, that they're always nursing some kind of injury or they're always missing 20 games a season. And it would be a shame to have Zion be one of those guys that's going to always, you know, he's always going to miss 20 games at the beginning of the season, or he's going to miss the last 30, or he's going to sit out 15 games in the middle of the year because he does this or that. And that's the thing I think that you worry about as a fan of Zion, as a fan of the Pelicans, as a fan of the NBA, because he's such a special talent, because he's so unique, because when he's been on the floor to this point in his career, he's been as good at a young age as just about anybody. And if he can't be on the floor, obviously that's a problem. And New Orleans this year, new coach, Willie Green, new set of players. Obviously, they brought back Brandon Ingram, but you shipped out Lonzo and you brought in a whole new sort of supporting cast for Zion to play with. Now, they talked about the fact that Griffin said that he thought he'd be back for the regular season, but that means that's when he's coming back and practicing full go. So he's going to basically miss training camp. So you're talking about a guy that last year he was probably at his most effective when they put him at the point and they were playing point Zion. So he's got the ball in his hands. Now you're going to go through the entire training camp without this guy who you want to have a really high usage rate. You want him to have the ball in his hands. You want him to be making decisions. And you got to basically go through training camp without him. And then he's going to just bounce back regular season. Plus, you already have these issues from when he was hurt in his rookie year. I know you probably read the articles that he really didn't like, him and his family, his camp didn't like the fact that he had to come in and play in bursts and he was only allowed to play for 4 minutes at a time and then he had to come out. And so they were mad about that, supposedly. So now they're going to have to nurse him back from this injury, which adds another layer of, all right, are they going to play him in bursts when he comes back? How's he going to, he's going to miss training camp. He's already sort of, I don't know if notorious, but he's never been in great shape. Kind of a la Joel Embiid, that he's still a phenomenal athlete and able to do the things that he does. But I think people still feel like he could be in far better condition. You also need him and Brandon Ingram to buy in on defense. And if you go through an entire training camp and he's not around, we all know that NBA teams don't practice a whole lot during the regular season. So there's not going to be a whole lot of opportunity for them to work on the defensive things that they need to work on and improve. So it puts the Pelicans in a difficult situation. You have the whole thing of he's got one more year left on his rookie deal. Then he can either sign that rookie max extension, or there's been a lot of talk that maybe, possibly, he could be the first guy to sign that qualifying offer coming off his rookie contract and sign a one-year deal for 16, 17, 18 million, somewhere in there, and then become a restricted free agent. After that, of course, he'd be leaving $200 million or so on the table, like we just saw with Michael Porter Jr., which we'll talk about here in a second. But there's just a lot swirling around Zion. And for a guy who I love to watch him play, I think he's a special talent. I think he's so fun to watch because he's so different from the way other guys play, that these injuries just, I think you have to be worried, right?
No, 100%. That was a very long answer to say you've got to be worried.
You got to be worried. You absolutely have to be worried.
Yeah, definitely. And listen, it's nothing against the guy. Like, he's very exciting when he plays, but that's when he plays. And if I'm Pelicans fans or front office, I'm definitely concerned. And we'll just have to see and monitor how it goes from there. And then I guess along those lines, another player, Caris LeVert, Mike, injured again. He has a small fracture in his back. Now, they're saying that they think he's going to be ready for the first game of the season. But once again, like, it's another guy who's...
Right. LeVert fits into that category of a guy who always seems to have something going wrong, right? Comes out of Michigan, has the broken foot. He's been injured multiple times since he's been in the league. Had the cancer when he got traded to the Pacers. just there's a lot of things going on. When this guy's been on the floor, he's been really, really good. But he hasn't been on the floor nearly as much as you would like him to be if you're one of the teams that's employing him and paying his salary. So you don't wish for guys to be injured. You hope that he can bounce back from this quickly. But his track record says that it's going to be a challenge, that he's probably going to be a guy who's always going to be nicked up. Or maybe he's a guy that you can only count on for 50 games a season because you know he's going to miss some 15 to 20 game stretch. And that's tough. It's tough if that's a guy that you want to build and be an important part of your team, which I think Indiana's looking at him as an important part of their team. But when you have to rely on a guy that's injury prone, to me, that's a really difficult situation because I don't think that changes over time. I think you're either durable or you're not. And if you're a guy that keeps getting nicked up, I think it just continues to happen and happen and happen more and more. And so you hope LeVert can come back, but I wouldn't count on it if I was Indiana.
Yeah, I agree. Like, you can't rely on him to be a key cog to your engine. You know, you just can't do it. Because he's not proven that he can stay on the floor. And that's just really the bottom line. It's, all it comes down to is availability. And that goes back to our vaccination piece, Mike. Like, listen, maybe I'm talking out of both sides of my mouth, but I just don't – like, these players that aren't vaccinated are going to miss games. And I know I said, like, they're not going to release them because I don't think they will. But it puts their teams in a bad place.
It really does. Really, I mean, if I'm a teammate of one of those guys, I'm mad. I mean, I'm angry that here's a guy who is an important part of our team that not only should get the vaccination for himself and his family, but also for his teammates and for the general public at large. And I would be mad, and I'd be interested to hear what their teammates would really say. True serum.
You're never gonna find out.
Behind closed doors, off the record. You're gonna be all right, man. You're gonna be able to stay awake.
I'll make it, Mike. I got you.
All right, good. All right, that's good.
Lo siento, senores and senoritas listening to the podcast. I apologize for that. Anyways,
it's all good, man.
No, I agree with you. I don't. You're never going to get that out of them, though. You're never going to get what they would truly feel.
Are you tired of slipping and sliding on the court and sticky sheets just aren't giving you grip? Grip Spritz solves this problem without having to lick your hand to clean your shoes. Grip Spritz is used by countless AAU, high school and college programs, semi-pro teams, as well as NCAA athletes and G League players. Unlike other products, Grip Spritz has solutions for individual players, not just entire teams. We've used Grip Spritz at our Head Start basketball camps and players love it. To keep you and your team from slipping and sliding, visit gripspritz.net to learn more. Would you rather have Zion or Michael Porter Jr.?
Well, you're paying a lot of money to Michael Porter Jr., Mike. That's a great segue.
I like that.
I mean, Michael Porter Jr. is probably going to play more games.
Maybe? I mean, he's another guy who's had injuries, right?
Yeah, he's had injuries, but not nearly to the level at which Zion's missed. I mean,
well, he missed basically his entire college season, his entire one college season that he played, right? He played like one game, maybe.
But college does. I'm not even thinking about. I'm thinking since he's been in the pros, what's his seasons?
I mean, he's definitely missed games.
Well, he played one game in 2018. Remember, because he came back.
Yeah, he's definitely
played 55 and 61. Now The 55 is not fair, though, because that was the COVID season. So that number of games is a little bit skewed. But he's been, 61 last year. How many games did they play last year? They didn't play a full season.
70 games.
70. So he missed 9 games. That's not bad. I mean...
Let me ask you this. Do you feel good about paying Michael Porter Jr.?
No. That wasn't the question. You asked me would I rather have Michael Porter Jr. or Zion. I mean, I would rather have Zion's abilities, but if he's not going to be able to play, I mean, crap, I guess I'll take Michael Porter. You didn't say, you didn't quantify how much we were paying them.
Okay, in a vacuum, which guy would you rather have if they're healthy? Clearly it's Zion, right?
Well, Zoe, for sure.
All right, so let's say at this very instant, take salary off the table just based on what you know about both of them. Which guy do you want for the next 10 years?
Next 10 years? Taking injuries out.
No, taking exactly what we know about them now. Taking their entire track record, who they are, what they've been, their injuries, everything about them. Just if you could take...
I probably would take Michael Porter Jr., Reich. Because I think I'm going to get more out of him in 10 years than I am Zion.
All right, that's fair. Do you think Michael Porter Jr. can ever be a top five player in the NBA?
No.
Do you think Zion could be?
Yes.
All right, so that's why I take Zion. Because, again, if you don't have a top five player in the league, it doesn't matter. So,
but if you have Jokic on your team, do you need him to be the top five player?
Maybe you don't, but it sure would be nice to have a top five player if that's the guy that you, if I could take either one and just plug him into my team.
Okay, so Mike, in the last two seasons, I've already laid out how many games Michael Porter Jr. has played. 55 and 61. That's 116 games. How many games has Zion played?
In the last 2 years, I'd say he's played 78.
85.
All right, so close. I still take Zion just based on the upside. Like, I like Michael Porter Jr., but I still think I'm not convinced that he – I don't think he's ever a number one player on a great team because I don't think he handles it well enough. Now, maybe he's going to get better. He's clearly, at his size, he can shoot. He's a good rebounder. He does some good things. I don't think he's a natural playmaker. I know I've said that before, although I do think he got better over the last season. Like 2 years ago, I was like, I don't even know if this guy knows if he's ever thrown a pass in his life. And I mean just like executing the fundamentals of throwing a pass, forgetting about knowing where to throw it. But I thought he got a lot better last season. I'd be worried about paying him that much money, both from an injury standpoint and from the fact that he's probably, if Jamal Murray comes back healthy, at best, he's probably your third option. Maybe.
Yep.
Maybe he's better than that. Maybe he develops and he gets better running off pick and roll and he's able to put the ball on the floor and do some other things. But I just don't see him being the playmaker in order to be able to do that. Of course, with Jokic, he doesn't need to be on that team. It just seems like a lot of money. Of course, he can make... I think I saw he makes $207 million if he makes one of the All-NBA teams this year. And he makes $172 million if he doesn't. I would say his odds.
If he makes an All-NBA team, then you're automatically thinking this is worth it, right? Because that means he's taking
a
lead.
If he makes an All-NBA team this year, then you're happy to cough up that extra whatever it would be, right? $35 million. You're happy to cough that up. If Michael Porter Jr.'s third team All-NBA this year, Denver's probably knocking on the door of an NBA title because Murray comes back at some point in the spring. And even if he's a shell of himself, if you put Murray on that team and you have third team All-NBA Michael Porter Jr. and you have Jokic plus the other pieces that they have around them, that's an NBA title team, or at least a team that's got an opportunity to compete for a title. Yep. If Porter Jr. is that good.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I think, like you said, if we were just talking upside and we weren't looking at injuries and we weren't looking at any of that, I would take Zion. But I'm just telling you, I think Michael Porter Jr.'s, if I was to predict and pontificate and prognosticate how many games Michael Porter Jr. is going to play versus Zion, And that, I probably would say over a 10-year span, I would take him. Because guarantee Zion one season of MVP caliber basketball playing and a chance at an NBA championship, I would probably take Zion. But I just don't know that I can do that, Mike, because I just don't think he's going to be healthy enough.
It certainly is a concern. And I would not be at all surprised if he goes through the bulk of his career and just can never stay on the floor. It would not surprise me. I hope that's not the case, because he's such an unusual player and he's so fun to watch because he plays differently, especially differently than the way the league has trended. He's not outside the three-point line taking threes. He's getting the ball to the rim and he's attacking and he's bouncing off guys and he's so explosive. So he's just an exciting player to watch. So I certainly hope that he can live up to his potential and knock off some of these injuries and be able to stay on the floor. But you're right to be concerned. And I can't really argue with taking Michael Porter Jr. if you think he's going to be healthy. I would stick with the upside that Zion could potentially be at some point a top five player in the league if he stays injury free, if he's able to get in the best shape of his career, which who knows? I've been saying the same thing about Joel Embiid. Get in the best shape that you can possibly be in so that when your team needs you in the fourth quarter of a game six or a game seven, you're not running on fumes. And that's really a difference. I mean, that's the difference between the great players who are going to win titles. If Giannis is in Joel Embiid shape, the Bucks don't win an NBA title.
I agree.
They just don't. And Giannis had his little bouts of having to go out in the first quarter, I think when he was hyperventilating or overhyped or whatever it was, where he went out early in a couple of those finals games and then checked back in. But I don't think that's lack of conditioning. I'm not sure what that was. But nonetheless, you got to be in the best shape of your career if you're going to be a truly, truly great player. You got to take care of your body and fatigue cannot play a factor in how well you play in big games. And for Embiid, it certainly has. And I think for Zion, he hasn't played in any important games yet in the NBA. But in his current state, I think he would suffer that same problem that Embiid is facing. Is you got to be in the best shape of your career if you really want to win and go deep in the playoffs and be the type of impactful player that everybody thinks those two guys can be.
All right, Mike. Is there any other news that we have to talk about? Is there anything that I'm missing? Do we forget anything that you've noticed?
I don't think there was much else. I mean, Media Day was pretty much standard fare. I didn't see anything that really jumped out at me that was super exciting or interesting. Most of all, I'm just excited for the fact that pretty soon we're going to be able to talk some actual basketball, see what these teams look like when they actually get out on the floor. And I'll be curious to dive in a little bit deeper as we get into some of our preview episodes over the next couple of weeks when we talk about some of these different teams and the changes that they made, which we've hinted at and talked about over the course of the summer. But to really dive in and think about what it is that we're thinking of each of these teams. So, yeah, I'm excited about that, but I don't think there's any news really that we need to hit on. So maybe we can go to our coaching rankings.
Oh, yeah. So now what we're going to do is – last week we teased this last week about what five coaches, and we said five, I think, is what we went with, right? Five.
What I think five, we went with five.
Five coaches are the best five coaches in the NBA. So that's what we're going to talk about now, and this might be an interesting conversation. I got to four, and then I really struggled with who my next one was going to be, so we'll have to see if we agree, disagree, you know, where our standpoint is, but, and like, who do we think is number one? That's going to be a discussion because, like, I think if we would have done this like 5 years ago, I'm pretty sure we would have said Popovich, but I don't know if I can say that anymore. That's the discussion we're going to have, Mike. Does that sound all right? Good?
Yeah, why don't we do it this way? I think it'd be more interesting. Let's go through. I have a list of the coaches by division. Let's just quickly eliminate guys who would not even remotely be in consideration for a top five spot. Like somebody that you would look at the name and you just immediately keep going. Does that make sense?
Sure.
All right. The Boston Celtics.
Sure. I may.
Okay, good. Steve Nash.
We could put his name down as a theoretical candidate.
Yeah, I put his name down. Tibbs.
Sure.
Yeah. Doc Rivers.
I guess because of the pedigree, I guess got to put him there.
Yeah. Nick Nurse.
I'm not willing to put him.
No, okay. All right, he has a really good reputation around the league.
I just I'm saying no because of...
That's fair. All right.
He's a good reputation, but he's had one good season, and he had Kawhi Leonard on his team.
All right, Billy Donovan.
No.
No, he's not a top five. Bickerstaff.
No.
Dwayne Casey.
No.
Rick Carlisle.
You got to put him on the list.
I know, though, Simmons had a good line the other day. He's one of the highest rated coaches who hasn't won a playoff series in 10 years. Which is pretty true. It's interesting because we think of him as being a really good coach, but he hasn't won. I don't think they've won a playoff series since they won the title in 2011. But I think Carlisle does have to be on the list. Coach Bud.
Sure.
Nate McMillan.
No.
Borrego.
No.
Spoelstra.
Yes, for sure.
Jamal Mosley.
No.
Wes Unseld Jr.
No.
Mike Malone.
No.
Chris Finch.
No.
Mark Daigneault.
Who?
Daigneault.
Who's he the coach for?
Oklahoma City Thunder.
No.
Considering you never heard of him. No, I don't think so. Chauncey Billups.
No.
Quinn Snyder.
No.
See, I think Quinn Snyder could maybe.
You can't.
Sneak
no,
in there.
You can't put him in. You can't put him in there, Mike. He's not done anything in the playoffs.
You're not putting him any. No consideration at all.
If I'm not putting all Nick right, Nurse in, look, I'm fine. Not putting all him
right,
in.
That's fine. Steve Kerr.
Yes.
Tyronn Lue.
Yes.
Frank Vogel.
Yes.
Monty Williams.
I need another year, Monty Williams. Sorry, no.
Luke Williams. Luke Walton.
No.
No. That's a hard no.
That's a hard no. He might be lower than Mark Daigneault.
Jason Kidd.
No.
Steven Silas.
Nope.
Taylor Jenkins.
Nope.
Willie Green.
No.
Greg Popovich.
Yes.
All right, so we've eliminated. Let me go through here. We've eliminated 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I think it would be quicker to count how many we still have.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20. So we've eliminated 20.
So that means we have 10 left.
So we have 10 left for 5 spots.
I mean, I'll tell you who I'm going to get rid of right away. Budenholzer's out. Sorry, Bud. You're out.
Okay.
Is that fair? Can we
that's
agree?
Fair. I don't have him on my list.
He's not on my list. I'm going to eliminate Steve Nash because he only had 1 year and they didn't get
Steve
to the
Nash is also not on my list, although I do think Nash has potential.
Yes.
But he's not on my list.
Can you quickly recap who's left? We just eliminated two more.
Tibbs.
I'll take him out. Take Tibbs out.
You're taking Tibbs out?
I'm taking Tibbs out. Do you have him in your top five?
I got Tibbs in my top five.
Oh, okay. I don't have him in my top five.
Here's why. Because I think if you want to turn your team around, now maybe he's not the guy in year eight that – players still want to listen to, but if you want to just turn your team around, if you've got a struggling team and you've got a bad culture and you break Tibbs in, I think you're going to start winning quickly. So okay. That's why I had Tibbs in my top five.
Well, he could be in consideration for my five spot, right. I guess.
Doc Rivers.
So when I made my list, I believe I have him in my top five. I have Doc Rivers in my top five just because his teams have always been in the playoffs. Like, has he missed the playoffs?
I don't know, but he's a hard no.
He's a no for you? Okay.
He's a no. Rick Carlisle.
Rick Carlisle was my first one out. I had him at 6.
Okay.
primarily because I think he's got a good reputation. I know he hasn't won a playoff series in a long time, and obviously getting ousted from Dallas but with Luka on the team probably isn't a good look for him. But listen, I would rather have him than majority of the other coaches in the NBA. So
okay. Spo?
Spo I have in there. He's a lock. He's a lock.
Spo's in. I agree.
So my locks are Pop, Kerr, and Spoelstra.
Okay, I have all three of those guys. Plus I have Tibbs.
So who's your fifth one?
The fifth one, I had a really hard time with number five. I actually had a guy under consideration that we eliminated, Nick Nurse. I had Nurse in there. I had Carlisle. And my other guy that I considered was our friend, Ty Lue.
Ty Lue is my fifth one, Mike.
Okay. So I'm going to go one, Pop, two, Spoelstra, three, Kerr, four, Tibbs, five, Carlisle.
Okay.
That's my list.
All right. So I have Pop 1. So this is what I have written down. Okay. I have Pop 1. I have Kerr 2. I have Spoelstra 3. I have Doc Rivers 4. And I have Ty 5. And I, like I said, I had Carlisle as my first one out at 6. I feel like I have to put Doc in over Carlisle is I just feel like Doc's at least won some playoff games in the last.
True, that's fair. That's completely fair.
And like his teams have been on the brink, whereas Carlisle's team hasn't even seen the brink.
Very true. I think quickly what you realize here as you do this exercise is there are a lot of coaches who are not that impactful or memorable, unfortunately. And the other thing I think you realize too is that it comes down to you have to be able to manage great talent. And that is a huge part of what coaching is one, you have to have the talent on your team, right? Like, I don't care how good of a coach James Borrego might be, but as the coach of the Charlotte Hornets, he's not going to get much recognition on a list like this because ultimately your talent is what trumps everything. So I think the guys who have had the most success or the guys that we're looking at it with our list are guys who have been able to win with great talent. They've been able to utilize the talent that they've been given and put it to the best use, figure out how to build team chemistry, figure out how to build a culture, figure out how to get their stars to buy into what it is that they're doing. And that's not to discount the X's and O's piece of it, because that's clearly important, the ability to make adjustments and do all the things that we talk about when we're talking about games and we're analyzing playoff series and all that kind of thing. But ultimately, I think the biggest success stories in the NBA are the coaches that can figure out ways to connect with the superstar players and get those guys to play their best in big moments. If you don't ever have a chance to coach those kinds of guys, we don't really know what kind of coach you can be. I don't know what Wes Unseld Jr. would do if he was coaching the Lakers. Like Frank Vogel, we didn't know what kind of coach Frank Vogel was going to be until he had an opportunity to coach LeBron.
So you bring the Lakers up, Mike, and I'm just going to just throw this out here. So Phil Jackson, obviously, probably, arguably, Phil Jackson, Pat Riley, best two Lakers coaches all time. Agree or disagree?
Yes.
Okay. Agree. So Phil Jackson took two seasons off in the middle of the run. Who were the coaches for the Lakers in the middle of those two seasons?
Ooh, that's a good question. I have no idea. I'd have to really think, and I don't think
Rudy Tomjanovich.
Okay.
And Frank Hamblin.
Okay.
Okay. Then after Phil Jackson, who took over for the Lakers after Phil Jackson? Your friend and mine.
Byron Scott?
No, your friend and mine, Mike Brown.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Then Bernie Bickerstaff coached for five games. Then after Bernie Bickerstaff, Mike D'Antoni. After Mike D'Antoni, Byron Scott. And after Byron Scott and before Frank Vogel, Luke Walton. And why did I just go through all those names? Because all those coaches were terrible and the Lakers did nothing in all those years. You know, and even Kobe was still on the team for those years. Like, Kobe was still on the team. Mike D'Antoni's winning percentage in those three seasons was like 43%. And Kobe was still playing.
You have to get guys to buy in, right? I mean, you have to be able to make connections with the best players. If you don't, if you can't get them to buy into what it is that you're selling and what your system is and the way that you believe that the team should play to best maximize your ability to win, then you could be the greatest X's and O's coach there ever was. But if your players aren't going to execute it or they don't believe in what you're selling, it's just not going to happen. I think that's really – when you talk about the NBA, now it's different on the high school level. It's different on the college level. When you're talking about NBA coaches, what you're really talking about is, one, can you build that relationship with your star player? And then once you do that, then what kind of system are you going to implement? Then what kind of style are you going to play? Then how are you going to best utilize your superstar and all the players around them? That's when that becomes important. Yep. But none of it is relevant unless you've built a connection, a level of respect with that star player where he will buy into what it is that you want to do. And it's as simple as that. That's what it comes down to. And you look at our list and the way we put it together – the guys that we have on our list are guys that were able to connect with star players and get the most out of them and maximize their team. And the guys that we said that we eliminated were guys mostly who haven't had an opportunity to do that. Maybe they've never coached a top five player in the league, or maybe they're coaching a franchise that is bereft of talent. And when those are the situations you're in, you're never going to be considered a great coach until you get that opportunity to coach a superstar player. And then that's when you really find out, hey, does this guy have it or does he not, when it comes to NBA coaching? To me, that's really what it's all about.
I couldn't have said it better myself, Mike. I really couldn't have. So we'll just have to see what coaches emerge and what coaches get thrown to the side in the curb this upcoming season. And what teams. So I think, I guess the next discussion we have to have is next week. I think
First coach fired?
No, we're not. That's not the first discussion we have to have.
First,
Mike.
Coach fired. Who is it? I think it's an easy one.
Well, oh boy. First coach fired. Easy one?
Yeah, it's easy.
Budenholzer, is he an option?
Come on, man. That's some Coach Bud slander right there.
Okay.
Can I help you out?
Give me conference.
Okay, I'm gonna give you the Western Conference non-playoff team from last season.
Conference non-playoff. Well, the Minnesota coach.
No, they hired him in the middle of the season. He's not getting fired.
Non-playoff. Was he the coach last year?
Yes.
Oh, Luke Walton.
Yeah, Luke Walton. I mean, I think there's no doubt he's got to be the number one candidate to be fired, right? Because who knows what Sacramento's going to be. Maybe they end up trading
Sacramento
for Simmons. But
if they fire him, can they hire Vlade to coach?
Maybe.
Peja Stojakovic, bring him out of wherever he's at?
I'd bring back White Chocolate. Let him coach a team. At least it'd be fun, man. They get up and down.
So I think, Mike, what do you think? We've got the season starts in 3 weeks. Next week, we do Eastern Conference preview.
Sounds good.
Following week, we talk Western Conference preview. And then the last episode before the season starts, we talk, make our predictions for champions/ coaches of the year, all that stuff, like the awards. Does that sound like a plan?
That sounds like a good plan to me. And then I'm sure there'll be some news, and we'll get to see some preseason games. We'll have some rookie talk about seeing how those guys look. And who knows, at that point, maybe we'll have a Simmons trade. So there'll be a lot of things. The pace should be picking up over the next couple of weeks. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, I won't be falling asleep. I'll have to stay. Keep me on my toes, Mike. You're going to have to keep me awake.
Hey, well, we're not even going to cross over into it. We're recording on Tuesday night. We're not even going to cross over to Wednesday morning, it doesn't look like.
Let's not challenge. Let's not tempt fate here, Mike. I know how we operate.
That's true.
So, I do want to ask you one question that's unrelated to the basketball, go for it. Mike.
All right, the Cleveland
Browns. Okay. Are you a believer? Are you thinking this is false gold? Are they for real? And you don't need to get into your Baker speech unless it really is necessary. Are you a believer in the Cleveland Browns, or is
the Browns are good, the Browns are a good team? I mean, I don't know what Chicago is doing. I don't claim to be a football coaching expert, but I'm not sure that they had a great game plan based on what I was observing. So, I think the Browns are a good team. I don't know what that means in terms of their opportunity to go and compete for a Super Bowl, but they're a good team. They're going to finish. They're going to make the playoffs. I would be stunned if they don't make the playoffs. I think their defense, although they look great against Chicago, I still, when push comes to shove, we'll see.
I think the bigger problem is Joe Woods. I don't think it's really necessarily the players. I think the scheme is what's the problem, in my opinion. But I mean, who am I? Just some
that could be. You would know a lot more NFL defensive schemes than me. So I like their talent on the defensive side of the ball on the line. I think their defensive backs are better. I'm not sure we have really any impact playmakers at linebacker. And on the offensive side of the ball, we should be able to run all over teams. And Baker has to be just good enough. I mean, he missed some throws against the Bears that were ridiculous, that I feel like a very average quarterback could have made some of the throws that he missed. But they may not need him to be much more than a quality game manager in order to win games, because they can run the ball so well. And if they get Jarvis Landry back, and look, they got a chance.
Yep. Okay. That's all I wanted. I just wanted to hear you say they've got a chance, because I just
remember
them.
Chance.
I just remember them. You poo-pooing them all year last year. So
they've got a chance. They've definitely upgraded. The talent on defense is much better than it was last year. They have a much better opportunity, I think, to be a good defensive team. And their offense is solid. And if Baker plays above average, I think they're going to be really hard to beat as far as what they can do on offense.
I mean, defense. And listen, the one game we lost, and I know it was Kansas City's not looked good since, but the one game we lost was to the defending AFC champions by 2 points in their home without our best theoretical best receiver, and we didn't, and our punter not catching the ball and not making and throwing the interception at the end of the game. Like, listen, I'm a believer. I think the Browns have a good chance to win the division. Although Baltimore Ravens making that 66-yard field goal makes me feel very terrible. I will tell you what team is not going to win the AFC North. That would be the Pittsburgh Steelers. They poor. Yeah, did you see the video? Did you see the video of Ben falling over?
Yeah, it's nice to see the Steelers down. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it at that, Mike. We'll leave it there.
No offense to all our Pittsburgh listeners out there, but it's nice to see. It's nice to see the Steelers down.
They can deal with it. They can deal with it. Okay. It's nice to see the Steelers down.
So hopefully, I think the Browns are a playoff team. So we'll leave it there.
We'll have a weekly segment. Mike's temperature of the Cleveland Browns.
I like it.
That's how we'll end the podcast each week.
At least you're not asking me about the Guardians. So
who?
The Cleveland professional baseball team.
Oh, okay. All right, that team. Oh, they're terrible. Anyways. All right. On that note, Mike.
Yeah, let's wrap it up there. Thanks for listening. If you haven't checked out The Quest for the Best from Matt Issa, make sure you check that out. We are up to, I believe, chapter 4. So he just covered players number 5 and 6 in his all-time top 10, with numbers 1, 2, 3, 4 coming over the next 2 weeks. So please check that out. Don't forget to check out all of our episodes and interviews with our coaches on the Hoopheads pod. So coming out on Friday, we have an interview with Garrett Hickey, who is coach at Fairfield Prep, and he also has a great newsletter, Share the Game. So make sure you check that out. We just had Rob Summers from Cleveland State, the assistant men's basketball coach. That episode went out on Monday, so check those out. And again, we thank you for being part of our audience. Make sure you follow us on Twitter at HoopHeadsPod. Subscribe on your favorite podcast app. If you like the show, please give us a 5-star rating and review wherever you listen. And we will catch you on our next episode. Thanks.
Thanks for listening to the HoopHeads Podcast, presented by Head Start Basketball.